All right. The first thing I got to say is the first time, this is the second time I've ever done this. The first time I did it, I was looking out in the crowd and there was a face I was missing. And it was the day before, the night before, that my mother had passed out or blacked out and done a header into the floor, broke her teeth, broke her nose, broke her neck. And she's here today. God bless her, and I thank God and praise God for the fact that she is able to be here today. Okay, in the last church I was at, we had two associate pastors, youth pastors, Rick Weiss and Dwayne Kleppel, yeah? And they both would substitute preach for the regular preacher when he was unable to. And what was funny was they both sort of had a signature in their sermons. Dwayne, without exception, would always mention something about sports, all right? And Rick, without exception, would always mention something about food, and probably 90-plus percent of the times it was Taco Bell, all right? And they reminded me, they brought to mind, to me, Alfred Hitchcock, believe it or not. Alfred Hitchcock, when he would direct a movie, he would always have a little cameo in there, right? So people would be looking for him to see, you know, well, there's Alfred. All right. Well, he got to understand that people were starting to look for him more than they were watching the movie. So he tried to get the cameos out of the way early. And that is, to be honest with you, that's the way I sort of felt with Rick and Dwayne's sermons. I was waiting for the talk about the Steelers, or I was waiting to hear about Taco Bell. But I've noticed that in my own public speaking, I tend to have a signature as well. And my signature either seems to be a movie quote or a verse from a song. So today, not to break tradition, it's going to be a movie quote. And the movie that I'm going to quote is Fright Night. Fright Night is a story about a young man, Charlie, who he's a teenager, and he was a horror movie aficionado. And he would watch his horror movies on a show called Fright Night, sort of like our old Chiller Theater. Well, being a nebby teenager, he would look out the window. There was an empty house next to him, and there were people moving in. And Charlie's looking out the window, and sure enough, he sees them carry in what looks to be like a coffin. So that, of course, just piques his curiosity. He continues to look, and he starts noticing some evenings, young ladies coming into the house that sort of were like call girls, right? Well, he happened to notice, though, these ladies never left the next morning. But one of the members of the household would take out garbage bags in the morning. So Charlie put two and two together, and he figures his new neighbor's a vampire, right? So sure enough, Charlie was right. And Charlie ended up later in the movie confronting the vampire. And Charlie, a good horror movie aficionado, knew that a crucifix is to vampire as kryptonite is to Superman, right? It's what you fight him with. So one point in the movie, they're face to face. Charlie pulls out his trusty crucifix and sticks it in the face of the vampire. The vampire looks at it, and he crushes it. And he says, you have to have faith for that to work. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Not vampires, but faith. A lot of the communion meditations, when I have a word that I want to focus on, I like to find out what Merriam-Webster has to say about it. I like to get a definition. So faith, these are Merriam's. I have three that I liked that sort of fit. Belief and trust in and loyalty to God. Number two, firm belief in something for which there is no proof. And three, complete trust. The good thing about faith is the Bible gives its own definition. In Hebrews 11:1, this is from the New Living Translation. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Faith, I always bring up this. Oh, I heard this story. I've told it probably in Sunday school before. I know I've told it to Robbie. There was an area in our country, a state or whatever, that was experiencing a bad drought. And months, whatever, the people in the church decided they need to pray. They needed to pray for God to break this drought. So they set a time, they set a date. All the people came from the church to pray for God to break the drought, to bring rain. One little old lady brought an umbrella. Would have been my mom. So that's faith. That's an example of faith. All right, we all have in our life, we all have varying degrees of everything. We have varying degrees of blessings, varying degrees of heartbreaks, and we also have varying degrees of faith. And as I was researching this subject, one of the articles I read, the man actually broke it down into 15 levels of faith. I'm not going to do that to you. I am going to sort of break it out to three. My three are faith in general, little faith, and great faith. All right? And the Bible is full of examples of faith. In fact, Hebrews 11, many people refer to it as the faith chapter. So what I'm going to do is read some of the examples, well, all of the examples that the writer of Hebrews lists of people of faith and just what they did. He goes on and elaborates a little bit more. I'm going to spare you. So Hebrews 11. Now faith, here's the definition again. Now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. For our ancestors won God's approval by it. That's an interesting statement that we can win God's approval by our faith. That's pretty amazing. It's pretty good. So here we go. These are ones listed in Hebrew 11. I'm going to put these in the category of faith. Not great faith, not little faith. Although some of them surely could be considered great faith. So let's hear them. Starts at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was approved as a righteous man. By faith, Enoch was taken away, so he did not experience death. By faith, Noah, after he was warned about what was not yet seen and motivated by godly fear, built an ark to deliver his family. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went out to a place he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise. By faith, even Sarah herself, when she was unable to have children, received power to conceive offspring, even though she was past the age. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. By faith, after Moses was born, he was hidden by his parents for 3 months. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the king's anger. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after being encircled by the Israelites for 7 days. The writer goes on to say that he doesn't have time to list all the ancestors of the Jewish people that had faith and the great acts that they did through it. So we see the importance of faith for the believer. As noted earlier in the chapter, it is impossible to please God without faith. That's a pretty strong word, that it's impossible to please God without faith. So obviously it's something we need. It's something we should desire. It's something we should work for to increase what amount we have. So I'm going to start off with little faith at that level. Even the apostles, the 12, had little faith at times, exhibited little faith at times. Matthew 16, 5 through 8, and this from the Holman Christian Standard, which I like the Holman Christian Standard. Most of my verses will be from there. Matthew 16, 5 through 8. The disciples reached the other shore, and they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus told them, "Watch out and beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And they discussed among themselves, "We didn't bring any bread." Aware of this, Jesus said, "You have little faith. Why are you discussing among yourselves that you did not bring bread? Don't you understand yet? Don't you know? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets were collected? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many large baskets you collected?" That's one example. I think it's interesting. Jesus knew. It says right in here, it says that he didn't hear it. He was aware of what they were saying. Why did he throw that out to them about the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? That was on purpose. He did that to get their reaction and to let them know they were lacking faith. How about Peter walking on the water? Here's an example of great faith and little faith, yeah? Let's read it. Matthew 14, 26 through 31. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, of course it was Christ they saw, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. Immediately Jesus spoke to him, "Have courage, it's I, don't be afraid." Peter answered, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said, and climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, caught hold of him, and said to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" Come on, how many of us would have stepped out into that water? You know, there was great faith right there. He was walking on water. What changed him? When he saw the power of the wind, he was afraid. Fear. The fear turned his great faith into little faith. And of course, Jesus, not missing a chance, called him out on it. All right. Fear destroys our faith. The opposite of little faith, of course, is great faith. One of the examples in the Bible that I think is an excellent example of this is the woman with the issue of blood. I'm going to read that. This is Mark 5, 25 through 34. A woman suffering from bleeding for 12 years had endured much under many doctors. I'm sure we can all relate to that. She had spent everything she had and was not helped at all. On the contrary, she became worse. Having heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his robe. For she said, "If I can just touch his robes, I'll be made well." Instantly, her flow of blood ceased, and she sensed in her body that she was cured of her affliction. At once, Jesus had realized in himself that power had gone out from him. He turned around to the crowd and said, "Who touched my robes?" The disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing against us, and you say, 'Who touched you? Who touched me?'" So he was looking around to see who had done this. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came with fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be free from your affliction." So she had just heard about Jesus. You know, think about it. There wasn't TV. There weren't newspapers. She had heard about Christ and thought, she believed. She had faith that this man can heal me. I don't even have to go up to him. If I could just touch his robe. And the funny thing, of course, is, you know, people are all crowding around you and you ask who touched you. I laugh a lot when I read the Bible. There are lots of funny things in there. Anyway, God has a sense of humor. Just look at us. All right, perhaps the greatest example of faith exhibited in the New Testament, in my opinion, is the faith of the centurion. Let's read about him. When he entered Capernaum, meaning Jesus, the centurion came to him, pleading with him, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, in terrible agony. I will come and heal him," Jesus said to him. "Lord," the centurion replied, "I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be cured. For I too am a man under authority, having soldiers under my command. I say to this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." Hearing this, Jesus was amazed and said to those following him, "I assure you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith." Jesus came to seek and save those that were lost, but he came first to the house of Israel. He came to the Jews, to the Hebrews. He was amazed. Think about this. He was with the 12. He was with people that should have had great, Hebrews, Jews, that should have had great faith. But this Gentile exhibited faith that he commented on and said he had not seen it in people, any of the Israelites. Okay, so we've gone over faith, great faith, little faith. We've seen examples of all of them. We need to evaluate what level we are at. All right? I don't know about you guys, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. I hate it when people do that when I'm in an audience. But do you have great faith? Do you have faith? Do you have little faith? Personally, I think I fall into the little faith category. My mom, she's got to be at least to the faith level, maybe to the great at times. She'll tell me, "Oh, yeah, this person's sick. This person needs that help. And don't worry about it. I prayed for him." And I'm over there sitting thinking, really, Mom? You know, but she has it. And like I said, I'm little. One thing that I wonder when I think about faith and the church, Christian church in general in this country, I think the most of us have little faith. Don't you think people should be walking out of churches healed of their illnesses? I do. Maybe you think that's, oh, those were in the past days before. Listen to this. James 5, 14 through 15. This isn't talking about in the past. Listen to it. Is anyone among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church, and they should pray over him after anointing him with olive oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will restore him to health. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. I'll tell you what, if I was up there pouring oil on somebody and praying, I wouldn't believe. I'll admit it. Why don't I believe? Because I haven't seen it happening. I know we talked about this in Sunday school one time, and Robbie said that he saw it happen once. For God's sake, we ought to see it happen hundreds of times. What would draw people to this true message other than the power of God through our faith? All right? So, I know that my faith's not strong enough. This brings me to a question, makes me think of this scripture. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. This is a tough one. As I read it, think about yourself. Think if you fit into any of these categories. Be honest with yourself. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. But know this, difficult times will come in the last days, and we're surely in the last days. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to the form of godliness but denying its power. Avoid these people, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Do you see yourself in any of those words? I see myself in some of those words. That's going to put us all in the little faith category. We must clean up our acts. We must scratch items off this list and draw closer to God. The verse that I highlighted, holding to the form of godliness but denying its power. People aren't walking out of here healed. People aren't walking out of churches across this country healed. We're denying his power. All right. James 4, 8. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Clean up your lives, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you people who can't make up your mind. Okay. Another sign of little faith is worrying. Do you worry? Matthew 6, 25 through 30. This is why I tell you, this is Jesus speaking, this is why I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add a single cubit to his height by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Learn how the flowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown in the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? Okay, so we know there's some faith. We know there are still people with great faith and little faith. Will there ever become a time in our world where there will be people without faith? Jesus wondered this. In Luke 18, Jesus says, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find that faith on the earth?" Well, the good thing is the Bible answers that question. in 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. We know we need faith. We know we cannot please God without it. Hopefully, we all want to increase our faith. But how? It drives me crazy when I'm listening to sermons and they tell me I should do this, I shouldn't do that, blah, blah, blah. And they never tell me how to get about it, how to make it work. The Bible has a clear answer on this one. A lot of times, even things in the Bible, we read and it's, oh, I should do this, I shouldn't do that. But we have to search and find and see where the power is. But for increasing our faith, it's clear. Romans 10:17. And there, I when I'm reading and trying to work on something like this, I like to read different translations. I think you get different insights from them. So I've actually, I had listed about seven of them, but I cut it. I've got four that I want to read. Romans 10:17. The first is probably the one you're most familiar with. It's King James. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Holman Christian Standard. So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ. The Aramaic Bible in plain English, which I find pretty interesting sometimes. Therefore, faith is from the hearing ear, and the hearing ear is from the word of God. Contemporary English version. You hear this a lot of radio preachers use it because they're trying to get to people's level. No one can have faith without hearing the message about Christ. And then Young's literal translation. I like it because it's like literal. Yeah. So then, faith is by a report, and the report through a saying of God. So it used to be when I had read this, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I thought, there must be some little secret in actually hearing it, getting it in through the ears versus reading it. And as I came to my senses, I realized that people back in this day must have probably couldn't read. Plus, how many documents were they able actually to access to read? So reading, hearing, it gets in there. If you're still a little bit afraid about that and want to make sure you hear it instead of read it, there's a wonderful thing on the internet. It's called BibleIS. BibleIS. It's free. You can pick different translations. Some of them are, they're dramatized, I think they call it on there. Others are just plain reading. BibleIS, you can pick the book, you can pick the chapter, click it, and it starts speaking. Okay. How powerful is great faith? You know, I mentioned about healing, and I know that probably doesn't stick well in some people thinking that healing days are over. Well, I beg to differ with you, but we're not going to go there. But how powerful is it? Obviously, we know there will be faith until Jesus returns, because faith, hope, and love endure. So let's read a couple things about the power of faith. Luke 17:3-6. This is Jesus speaking to the 12. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day and comes back to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. This blew their minds, right? They were thinking, once or twice, man, that's pretty good. I forgive him. He does the same thing. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Seven times? Come on. Jesus goes on to say, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, the Lord said, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. I've heard preachers talk about on the move in the mountains. You don't ever hear them talk about the mulberry tree, but the move in the mountains. Oh, those mountains are problems in your life. And you pray about these mountains and God will move them if you have faith. Well, yes and no. I believe what it says. If God had need for you to move a mountain, a real mountain, and you believed that he could do it through you, you could do it. I don't believe it's there as magic tricks. It's not like, I've got faith, watch that chair. You know, no. But if there's a need, and if you believe, by God, he'll do it through faith. We don't have it, do we? I don't see it. Okay, and the last, I'm going to finish with this. I'm wrapping up. Joy would be playing the piano about now. Okay, I'm going to finish with this, and I think it really has application to all of us. Mark 9, 21 through 24. This is about the, some Bibles, it's funny, some Bibles say it's about the epileptic boy. Other Bibles say, other translations say it's about the lunatic. They call him a lunatic. Okay, we figure he's probably epileptic or maybe has a demon, whatever. Jesus is out of the picture at the moment, and his 12, they're trying to heal this boy. They're trying to cast out this demon, heal him, whatever. Can't do it. So Jesus comes onto the scene. This is him speaking to the father of the boy. How long has this been happening to him? Jesus asked his father. From childhood, he said, and many times it has thrown him into the fire or water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Then Jesus said, if you can, everything is possible to the one who believes. Immediately, the father of the boy cried out, I do believe. Help my unbelief. And I'm ending here because I think that's us. We do believe. We have faith. But we need help in our unbelief. Thank you for your attention. And you going to wrap it up, or are we just going to say, sing the last song? Or? Okay. What is the last song, by the way? 473?
Just the first verse?
Just the first verse.
Take up thy cross and